You're listening to Podcast on Fire. It's Asian cinema in a podcast with your hosts, the magnificent trio of Stu, Ken, and Mike.
Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire 88. I'm your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me this evening, we've got one of the hosts from This Week in Sleaze, Kenneth Bruson.
Sleazy K, thank you very much.
Oh, stepping on the toes. Just because you've got your own show now.
Yeah, I get to pay for my shoes or my hat or whatever you say. No autographs. Keep them away. Keep all those fans away. We want a straight line to the limo and to a private jet. By the way, we don't want show. Hello, everybody. This is Ken.
Mm-hmm. You can get in contact with the show various ways. You can catch us on emails with podcastonfire@googlemail.com. We're on Facebook. Just search Podcast on Fire. Our group's recently achieved 100 members. As soon as I announced that someone left, putting it back to 99, it's like, there's always one.
Well, 99 is a great number, Stuart. It's the great ones number.
Well, what's better? What's better is 102, which we're currently sitting at. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, the usual, twitter.com/podcastonfire. If you want to send us a message on Twitter, it's @podcastonfire. And for Ken, @SoGoodReviews.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So various ways of getting a hold of us online. Don't worry, we won't ignore you. If you haven't been on our website in a little while, you may have noticed the new look, which has probably been around for about maybe a month now. But one of the new additions I had actually put on last week was these colourful buttons. Yes, buttons, to make it that much easier for you to find our shows. And it is, that's all it's for. We do have some great standout colourful buttons on the right side, on the right menu bar, which just takes you to what show you want to tune into.
It's rather exciting, because we unintentionally really turned into a network. You know, you guys, you know, okay, we did Commentary on Fire first, just to try out a commentary, you and I, Mike. But also, like, you guys, because I think it was mainly a discussion between you and Mike, and I listened into the idea was, you know, the birth of the Japan on Fire idea. And then it sort of spun from there. We realized, oh, we have 3 shows. By the way, what about Korean cinema? That's fun. 4 shows! Oh, and what about Category 3 Sleaze? 5 shows!
Yep, so...
You know, it's so we turned into a network, and that's rather exciting. So those buttons are a natural evolution in that as well.
Mm-hmm. And remember, coming 1st of March will be the first episode of The Eken Hour.
Isn't it already?
Don't worry, it's cool. That was a joke. So, I'm still in the middle of comprising a more detailed version of What's Our Network. If you are looking for more information on each show individually, we will have one page up in the next coming days. Well, by the time you listen to the show, it will be online. Mm-hmm. So, that's just a summary of all our shows. Highlights of certain episodes, like things... If you've just tuned into us, it's like, these are probably shows you should look into, because... They're good. They're noteworthy. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
And a big shock for our forum members the other night, upon recording this is like 9th of February, and we recently just upgraded our forum. And...
Wow!
Yes, everyone kind of had that reaction where it did go from the standard message board forum to this sleek, cool orange and blue.
Yeah.
Well, came from our banner, which I'd taken from the Good, the Bad, and the Weird movie poster, which I actually do plan on. I'm too lazy to look up like rotation codes and stuff like that, so I will periodically change the head and banner of the web of the forum.
It's not what's going to make or break the forum, so it's all good still, and it's a cool image anyway.
Aye, But yep, plenty of new things to check out on podcastonfire.com and podcastonfire.com/forum. So what's in the fall after these shows in the coming weeks will be our fourth installment of the Vampire Season, our much-loved Podcast on Fire dedication to those funky Hong Kong vampire movies with Lam Ching Ying.
Yeah, much appreciated series and a much appreciated feedback. You know, we do get feedback all the time, but I was especially glad and proud of, you know, the work we've done, and also that the feedback has been very positive, and people have, like, maybe if they were only medium fans before, they've kind of gotten excited hearing us talk about certain movies. And it's very cool because the next couple of the end to the vampire season will be some of the more obscure ones, as you'll probably mention now.
Yes. Well, for our fourth installment, we will be again checking out Magic Cop, Vampire versus Vampire, and the semi-obscure Mr. Vampire 1992.
And pretty much the black sheep of the series.
Mm.
It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So the cat's out of the bag.
In terms, it's like of one of those high school reunions, and I kind of wish I just never came back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, shit will be discussed in greater detail in a future episode.
Yeah.
And following that, we will be going into recording our second episode of What's Korean Cinema. And our second installment will be focusing on the Korean film, obviously. Welcome to Dong Mak Wol.
Yeah. Oh, what was the alternate, like, fucking longer the title to that?
Battlefield.
Some
obscure
numbers.
Obscure number. Aye.
Sounds stupid.
And when watching it again, hopefully it might reference, if it references something in the movie, okay, that's fine. But if it sounded better than Welcome to Village We Can't Say Name.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you know, isn't the post of that one of those posters where everybody's happy? Like, smiling and shit on the Welcome to Dong Mak Wol poster, or you don't remember any artwork as such?
Aye, for the Korean poster, and the UK post, well, for the UK DVD, it's just a serious war look. Even for the Welcome to Dong Mak Wol, it's got the two lead actors kind of staring off into the distance, like, past you, with, like, a plane in the background. And one of the credits, what's it? Has the Korean actress's name, like, star of Old Boy.
Wow. Okay.
And it was like, but she's not even on the cover of the DVD. Like, she's, like, those two guys on credit, the credit, the lassie, why the hell is she not on the cover as well? But it is,
yeah, I just remember someone saying, like, the post art there, they're kind of happy. One of those.
It is. It's, they have all this real, like, they've all just got this big secret, and they've got the big cheesy faces.
Yeah. With we'll go into this, but am I wrong in saying the guy from Simply from Mr. Vengeance and Save the Green Planet is in this?
Yeah, that's
Shi Ha Kyun, yep, or whatever he's called.
Aye, that dude's one of the leading characters.
Right, I like him.
He's awesome.
Not one of those, like, teen idol faces as such, but he's kind of a goofy, serious actor as well. He can. That's why
he's
everybody
reliable.
Should watch, like, Save the Green Planet, because it covers the spectrum, you know.
So good
stuff. New experience, new movie. So I'm looking forward to it.
And that's all we've got on the plate for now. And so
that's the only things we have on our plate. It's a hell of a lot. It's so good fun. It's so much good fun.
So, to the last movies, Watchmobile.
Last movies watched.
So
maybe we should come up with a song for it. Anyway.
Yeah.
You want to go first, or should I go first?
I could get mines out the road, sure.
Okay.
It's terrible where I've been rewatching movies that I've spoken about on past shows, and I think they are there. What's the point of me really telling you the same story again? Like, the only time you think it would be noble is if my opinion had drastically changed. Whereas, like, I saw The Mad Detective, and I really think the dude's actually quite sane. He's... Ah, everything made so much sense. I'm sending you my ear in a jiffy bag. No. But yeah, I did get a chance to rewatch Mad Detective on Blu-ray. That's really the excuses that I've got now. Again, I caught up with The Good, The Bad, The Weird, like the crazy Korean Western, which still works. It's a brilliant film, great music, great cast as well.
Have you seen the different cuts of The Good, The Bad and The Weird? They did a Korean one and an international one, I read.
I've not seen the international one. The Korean one, as expected, does run up to the 2-hour mark. Mm.
But the international one might be longer, actually. I don't have this on in front of me, but I remember it was not like they took out 50 minutes. So mm-hmm. It was not that kind of re-edit.
I'm looking up as we talk. One of the other movies I got a chance to rewatch was Accident, the great Soi Chung film. And it's still a brilliant film. Like, yeah. you feel paranoid watching it.
I saw it after you saw it at the festival. I saw it a few months later, and I was blown away as well. And good thing that a movie that kind of promised to be complex beforehand, twists and turns and secrets and all of that, kind of was very understandable. You know, they tied it together at the end. I know people are... I haven't heard many people that say they like the ending, but I thought the end... We are not going to spoil it, but I always thought the ending was pretty suitable. It comes out of nowhere, yeah, but I didn't mind it at all. What did you think of it a second time around? Did you think it made sense?
Because in that sense, like, there is not this really well thought out plot, and like, whoever done what happened was really based on their emotions.
Sure.
Nothing had to be complex. Right, if the light shines off here at this time, and if that person walks by there, and the rain falls, and this wire, that, it's like, no. It's like, this happened. I'm pissed. It's like, there's no motive. It's just like, oi, you.
Yeah, but still, if you look at it once more and think of how it makes sense for Lewis Koo's character.
It does.
It kind of makes sense. So I didn't mind it, but I think people are quite allergic to these sudden endings. And
I kind of felt like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
Right, I've used up all my really well thought out death scenes. Let's just run this guy down. There we go. Mm. Revenge sorted.
Credits. But thankfully, it was not a dream, the whole movie. They didn't go that route. They didn't go the old Dallas route by claiming everything was a dream for 5 years and then bringing back people who died. It's not that kind of fucked up ending. But really, dig Accident. Short and to the point and very good and methodical, to say the least. It's not a fast-paced movie, but man. And shocking violence here and there from Soi Chang, who can do shocking violence very well. Thinking the parking garage scene.
Yes.
That's pretty much, whoa!
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be about the bloodshed. The impact is what makes that scene. Even though it is kind of bloody, but it's not like fountains of blood will make you shocked and disturbed. No. It's the impact. And indeed, an impact in that scene. Kablooey.
So, I've looked up IMDb's alternate versions for The Good, The Bad, and The Weird. And they mentioned after the release in Cannes, the film got two final versions, a Korean and an international one. The international one is shorter and had better pacing, and the music changes slightly in some scenes. The main difference in the Korean version is the ending, which adds a few more scenes to the Mexican standoff, given some rather vague explanation for the film's epilogue.
Okay. Do you know if the UK DVD is the Korean edition?
The UK actually has a little alternative version as well.
Right, okay.
It has 5 seconds cut out of it just for animal cruelty.
Yeah, I'm guessing horses tripping over, I guess.
The instance of three cruel horse falls.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, but
it's what it is. I mean, 3 seconds is nothing.
It's not until like, fuck, man, come on, I want to see this happen. I will not watch this movie until I have a pristine, untouched cut.
Exactly. You shouldn't get all riled up.
Just shut up and take your film and enjoy.
Yeah, law is not going to change anytime soon.
Stop sweating the small stuff.
Yeah. And a protest that including you is equal to one person isn't enough to change the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like sensitive censorship. This is the fucking law.
Mm-hmm. So the film I got around to watching last week was quite funnily. This relates back to one of the last episodes from the cast to the past, cast from the past. That we put up Podcast on Fire 19. Where Adam Terrell talked about seeing Fatal Move.
Oh, yes.
Yes, this is Shirt's turn to discuss Fatal Move.
2 years later.
I finally saw it.
Oh, it's a Category 3 movie. It's a Category 3 movie. Stu has entered the world.
Hey, come on. Young and Dangerous prequel was Category 3.
Ah, okay. Yeah, Mad Detective as well. But yeah, you said it was bad.
Yeah, it was fine, but... It's just... Really, you don't need to... It's not a crap film, but... It just has a fucking terrible ending.
Wow.
The fight scenes are pretty cool. This looks like SBL. Like, just Donnie Yen's being replaced with Danny Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. All the cops are now triads. So, it's just a quick mix around... And I'm right in saying this was Wu Jing's directorial debut.
No, that's a Legendary Assassin. This is Dennis Law.
The
hated Dennis Law, but it's like the building tycoon, if you will, who finances his own movies. So he's done like this, what's the other one?
Contact.
Fatal Contact, thank you very much, and recently Vampire Warriors, which did not get any good reviews. So it's kind of a turkey director. I've only seen one, The Unusual Youth, which was not the most inspiring youth drama out there.
Mm-hmm. Fatal Contact wasn't a bad film. That was sort of like Wu Jing, who was like a vague recollection. He was almost like he was training for like the Olympics. He's like part of a squad and that, and okay. He's, I reckon how he falls in these hard times, but he ends up going into doing some underground boxing to kind of make money to make the ends meet.
Okay.
And it does, it gets pretty brutal. He goes into bigger fights, get bigger money. That was a decent flick. I don't regret buying it. Fatal Move, though, it looked like SBL, everyone looks just as cool. Sammo Hung's back. Simon Yam is in every movie once again. it's all like all these good things. Like, man, like if you're making a meal, you're throwing in all the best ingredients, but for some reason it just didn't turn out good. Just bitter taste in the mouth, and that could easily come down to probably the CGI work of it, where Wu Jing's Fast and Furious fights in this movie, like for some reason this really skilled deadly assassin, well triad, needs a big ass samurai sword. So it's not bad enough that he's doing these cool kicks, he needs to chop limbs, like arms, fingers, hands, everything needs to get fucking chopped off. Like, he will run through a crowd and make sure everyone's got something missing by the end of it. And it just goes on to a wave of CGI hands and CGI blood going. So
that painting, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. So there's like all that shit happens, and I'll be honest, I started fast forwarding. I actually watched the movie in times 3 speeds, where I actually still kept the subtitles on the picture. No audio, but just subtitles. I was still reading it, still following it, but it just finished a bit quicker. Whenever a fight scene came up, I stopped and I went to go in to appreciate it, but it was still a bit
was
much.
Was it kind of for its genre a bit too long anyway? I mean, 100 minutes or something like that?
I think it got to the point where it's like, I'm actually getting tired of this film, but yeah. I feel that I can never feel I'm at the stage where I actually have to turn it off.
Okay.
I sometimes, like, the film might actually turn around, and it's just like, oh, okay, I'm just fast forward into the Sammo Hung Wu Jing fight. Hmm. And their fight happens for, like, no reason. Like, they're both in a warehouse together, and it's like, go on, let's scrap. It was just like Wu Jing just said this cocky and said, I didn't think you could still go. I was like, really? All right. Ah, crap the knuckles, come on. And then it starts, and like, really? Okay. Ah, that was all right.
So I have a question, because I do remember Adam speaking of the fact that the movie takes itself a bit too seriously when it should have been not lighthearted and fun, but, you know, it's an action movie, and they shouldn't really attempt to be too serious anyway. So, mm-hmm. I mean, does it attempt drama, for instance? Some kind of drama?
It does. It ends on, like, a really sad, dramatic ending. It's like, I think it's trying to show, like, some, like, dramatic, like, it's trying to shock us by the end of the movie. And
do another SBL type ending, because that had a shocking ending as well, or a bit of a surprising ending.
But I was I was going to say I could go into spoiler territory, but
I don't fucking care, spoil it for me.
So this is your warning. I'll try and keep it like in 20 seconds, so take your skip 20 seconds, just do that. Every cunt dies at the end. Like, even, like, okay, this has happened, the main character's dead. So, right, all the, like, the woman that goes to prison, there just happens to be two people in the corridor scraping wall, and they turn around, slash her throat. Simon Yam gets shot, the woman who's sitting breastfeeding her baby in the middle of the woods gets shot. Every person you've seen in this movie gets killed off one by one, and then it just comes up with this bullshit metaphor saying, one bad move in life, blah, 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 blah. And someone like, one bad move in life could be fatal. It should have been that. But I was like, don't give me a... No, like, at least let the woman and the baby, like, let Sammo Hung and his daughter, like, live, come on. What? Oh, okay, fine, kill them.
Like, now I dislike the movie because, like, trying to be, as you said, like, symbolic and metaphorical by the end. When you're doing an action movie, it shouldn't be complicated. Mm-hmm. They should just try and be simple. And that, by doing that, and I'm basing what I hear on your opinion and on what you're saying, and therefore I dislike what I'm hearing. And I'm going to say, it's fucking pretentious to do that. Mm-hmm. You should realize what you are and work with that. You know what I mean? SBL did quite okay with a little bit of drama in the background with Sammo and Simon Yam, I think, had the age-old Hong Kong cinema terminal disease plot, which turns up in Hong Kong movies and all that, as far as I remember, anyway. And it just pisses me off when they try to be all important and therefore add 10, 15 minutes of substance. I'm willing to bet that movie ran like 105 minutes, and that's officially in my book maximum 20 minutes too long, but 15 minutes too long, really.
And, it's actually 8 minutes shy of 2 hours.
No, fuck me. Oh, dislike. I don't care if it's a free on that. Fuck that.
I think that's probably why I got to the point. And I was stupid. I'd started at the start of the evening, went out, came back, going on the... like, right, I'll finish. I was like, what, another hour? So I said, right, fast forward.
I was just like... I remember being pissed off watching a very different movie, but that had that text at the end, like to make us try and feel something meaningful and make us feel that it's a deep movie going on. And it was actually the French movie Irreversible. Mm-hmm. You know, that way unconnected movie. The movie that plays backwards and has that extremely violent beating at the beginning that happens at the end of the story with the fire hydrant and the 20-minute Monica Bellucci rape scene. And at the end, they like, you know, all the happy stuff happens at the end of the movie, which is the beginning of the story. And then there's a fucking thing at the end where, like, time destroys everything. Mm-hmm. Fucking bullshit. They were doing a rape revenge movie, and that's all they were doing. And that fucking director even said that in the interviews. It's a genre movie. I'm making a rape revenge movie. And there's no depth to that. It's just do what you set out to do. And I, of course, applaud if you want to challenge any format. But when it goes bad, like in the case of Fatal Move, 2 hours, I automatically say no to that movie. And in the case of Irreversible, when you try and be deep when you don't actually, you're not doing a deep movie, mm-hmm. then you get automatic disapproval for me. So, I can get New Police Story angry at other things, as you hear.
Yes. So, that's me.
So, as for my LMW, as you term you should know, kids, by now, last movies watched. And it connects kind of to what you were saying before, that you weren't revisiting the films you were and had vastly different opinions about them, right? Mm-hmm. You still liked Mad Detective and, you know, for instance. So what I watched, and I'm going to do an explanation, because this has something to do with SoGoodReviews.com and Sleazy K Video, and also about different opinions over the years. So what I rewatched yesterday and on Monday, I didn't finish it in one go, was Wolf Devil Woman, right, which is a 1981 Taiwan fantasy wuxia movie directed by and starring Pearl Cheung. And the reason this has to do with SoGoodReviews.com is I'm reviewing it, first of all, but I'm actually doing a series of reviews focusing on IFD movies, but not in the obvious sense where I'm going to review more of the cut and paste movies with ninjas in them. Rather, I'm going to try and highlight as best as I can the history of IFD, Joseph Lai's IFD, that sadly gets unmentioned. And I've done so on the podcast before, and it is highlighting that Taiwan movies they bought and released pretty much intact, i.e. no spliced in footage of Westerners. They just did the dub for them, obviously, and released them internationally. And there are some cracking stuff from end of 70s, early 80s from Taiwan with when it came to exploitation movies, thrillers, horror, and fantasy. There is that period is something I'm totally weak for. And you have movies like Wolf Devil Woman and some movies by Chu Yen-ping that also got picked up by IFD. His crazy Golden Queen's Commando and Pink Force Commando. His mishmash spaghetti western with modern elements, stolen music galore, with all the girls, Bridget Lin and Sally Yip. It's just good fun. fighting the Ku Klux Klan and China and Nazis in China, played by Chinese and all that. It's just good fun. And IFD picked up that and picked up on the fact that Taiwan is a rather interesting territory. They make interesting movies. And we feel that we're not going to interfere with that. We're going to highlight the movies as they are. We're going to represent them and respect them. But in order to sell internationally, which was IFD's game, really, well, you obviously need to do a dub for them, and respectful dubs. So that's what I'm trying to highlight. And I've written a rather long review of Wolf Devil Woman because it has a basic introduction to IFD based on a Mike Leader interview with Joseph Lai, which is not the most common thing out there. Joseph Lai has barely done any interviews through the years, or any. Which also means there are a lot of bullshit stories out there about the fact that Godfrey Ho and Joseph Lai were the same person, that Thomas Tang, who started at IFD but then formed Filmark, was in fact Godfrey Ho, you know, all of that. So Mike has worked at IFD, at the latter stages of IFD, and knows Joseph Lai, and I trust Mike more because it comes more from a source. Although that interview is more about the basic history of IFD as well. So I did that and rewatched Wolf Devil Woman, retitled though to when released by IFD to Wolfen Ninja, which is kind of a weird ass title, but it does have ninjas originally. And I watched this many years ago and I didn't like it. I wasn't that in tune with these kind of movies, and I can see a number of flaws in this movie still, but I am now at a point where I'm weak for this genre as long as it, you know, moves in front of my eyes. I like it automatically, you know what I mean? It's like I just love the feel of a Taiwan fantasy from this time or any of the other genres I mentioned. And I was fortunate enough to watch this movie. This is why you have to look at eBay sometimes. I found a widescreen tape from Greece, dubbed in English, obviously. Because a lot of these IFD movies turn up in widescreen on Greek tapes and also Japanese tapes, sometimes sourced from the cinema prints. So, you know, you got to see sometimes Richard Harrison on the big screen, in widescreen, and not just in the bargain bins, as things are today. So it was a pleasure watching this in widescreen. And essentially, the plot is you see at the beginning two people fleeing from, like, the Devil Army's lair, where they have voodoo sacrifice, human sacrifices in order to create a voodoo army of sorts. And these parents flee with their infant, and they sacrifice themselves, but the infant survives in the avalanche that happens while the ninjas and the Devil Army chases them. And the baby is actually found by wolves and raised by wolves, hence Wolf Devil Woman. And she grows up to be obviously very, very much like an animal. And she's played by Pearl Chung, who is this woman that actually was one of the few women that I know of that produced and directed and starred in these kind of movies. Mm-hmm. It's Taiwan fantasy. She didn't do a whole lot, but she's a fan favorite. She did, after this, she did Matching Escort, which is known as Wolf Devil Woman 2, which is not a sequel, by the way. She did Miraculous Flower, which is known as Part 3, which is, again, is not a sequel. But I don't think she directed Miraculous Flower, by the way. But she's fun. She's cool. And she encounters humans and is taught like to be a little bit more like a human, and she finds out that she needs to have a little bit of revenge against the Devil Army. And fortunately enough, the humans are after the Devil Army as well, to try and like crush the force that is oppressing the people in supernatural ways. So it's good fun, low budget, the wire work is choppy as hell, and there's a lot of Atari-like sound effects for even mundane actions to cover up like the fact that there's not a whole lot of good action in this movie. The comedy at times is very grating. I wished IFD had cut a sequence where Pearl is eating at a restaurant for the first time and she's ordering like food for 10 people and gets really drunk and shit like that. And there's mugging galore therefore. But this movie has like enough things that move in a way that I'm thrilled by. That it comes incredibly infectious, and at times it's rather creative when it comes to conveying special effects. Even though the camera is very aggressive, the camera language is very aggressive, and zoom ins and quick cuts, but it's hard to explain when you don't see it for yourself. But it's an infectious atmosphere and aura. I get, you know, weak. My knees get weak just watching this stuff. I'm incredibly fond of it, and therefore, this got a very positive review despite the many flaws. And ultimately, to sum it up, I think Pearl and the producers and the filmmaking company knew that they wanted to provide a mainstream product, a commercial product that didn't need to be high art to succeed. You know what I mean? Just provide sort of the elements, cool elements, and you can have silly playtime as well, even though some audiences might find that boring. And I think also IFD, who, despite making all these ninja movies that are B movies, they are bad, but they are so much fun. They have the right energy. They knew they were not making high art when cutting and splicing. And when they picked this up, I'm very convinced that they knew this isn't high art, but it's something to sell and something to be appreciated for what it is. And we can push it for what it is, i.e. they seemingly didn't take anything out of this movie. But when you say IFD and intact, it really means they didn't splice in any own footage. Even though they cut out maybe 5 or 10 minutes if the movie ran over 90. Because that was the cardinal rule, by the way, the golden rule. No movie from IFD could run over 90 minutes. And sometimes it's 89 minutes, 59 seconds. IFD saw what they had, and Pearl and her filmmakers and producers knew what they were doing as well. So it's a fascinating product in that regard, and there will be lots more details, despite me talking a lot, in the upcoming review. And I hope also, I'm going to attempt this anyway, to do one of my more complex videos where I like try and very carefully use footage and talk over footage in a very specific way, to intro people to IFD in video form and then talk of the specifics of Wolf Devil Woman, aka Wolf and Ninja, in a specific way as well. But that might take time because I've never attempted that. I've always done it the simple way. Just narrate 4 or 5 minutes of random footage. But it's going to be fun. And I'm going to do maybe a series of 5 or 6 reviews based on movies like Deadly Darling and Fury in Red. And even might attempt the Queen's Commando films. Golden Queen's Commando, Pink Force Commando films. But that's the side of IFD I want to highlight, because it isn't highlighted. So I hope you have the time, maybe, to check that review out someday, Stuart, when it comes online. But maybe maybe there's lies an interest in that. Maybe I can lure you in to watch IFD movies, and then we have you! And then we're going to make you watch Ninja Terminator and the Catman movies and the Robo Vampire. Clockwork Orange style, you know? It's good fun. So that is basically it. Yes.
All right. So
it feels good, by the way, not to be angry anymore. Now I'm happy.
You feel
again.
Better now.
I'm so happy again.
Aye. It was better that I went first.
It was 87 minutes as well, this movie. Way below 90. Come to me, my friend. You're a friend to me, movie. 87 minutes. Come to Papa. And I like, just as an aside, I watched this movie called Summer Scars recently. It's a Welsh movie, or shot in Wales. And the movie is 72 minutes long, and I think the credits is like 11 minutes in total, the opening and end credits. So essentially it's a 1-hour movie, yay! I like that. And it doesn't need to be anymore. Fatal move, fuck you.
One last note before we actually shoot off. I would like to mention again the great catalogue of online movies you have along at lovefilm.com, which is like the UK's version of Netflix. And especially now that they stream movies online. I did mention this on the podcast at some point last year, but just browsing through it this evening, I was going past like the expected typical titles like the Tartan Catalogue, like your usual, the Auditions, Inferno Affairs, the Vengeance Trilogy, and then I was caught off guard when they had like Wheels on Meals, like Jackie Chan films that you can't really find in store nowadays, and so you get thrown Wheels and Meals, the Bruce Lee movies, a majority of them, not them all, as well as some of their Bruce Lee clones. Yes, Fists of Bruce Lee, Fists of Fury 3. great, wonderful little titles like that. But even they had, like out of nowhere, Shaolin Temple, The Martial Arts of Shaolin. No, Shaolin Temple 3, I should mention.
Yes.
From 1986, starring Jet Li. And this is, like, the actual remastered Shaw Brothers, like, clean picture, DVD subtitle quality. It's, like, streaming for free online. So, definitely, if you do subscribe to Love Film, like, check out their online catalogue. Nowadays, you can get access to Love Film's catalogue on a variety of Sony Blu-ray players, which I have, and you could also get on, like, your PlayStation 3.
Only in the UK, sadly. I'm waiting for that to happen in Sweden, because we have Love Film as well, as many other countries in Europe do. But still only UK, I think, because I like that idea of having it in your PlayStation 3.
And again, if you don't have either of those, you can watch them straight off of their website. Just go on there, rattle in the name of the movie, and it gives you the option where to tell you if it is available to watch or not, because not all of their movies are available to watch online, but they do change it periodically. Like every week there happens to be new movies posted, but in that sense some of the older movies also get taken down. I think on their last chance section of the app or whatever you cry a program on a Blu-ray player, Thirst is in the last chance thing now, so obviously that's getting taken offline for a while.
Last chance to see Song Kang-ho stick for free.
Yep, that and The Wedding Singer. But yeah, definitely hop on to lovefilm.com and check out. It's seriously worth it. Definitely get your money's worth out of them. So, I think that rounds it up for tonight.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Stuart Sullen. Joining me, we've had
Kenneth Bolson.
We'll catch you next time.
Hey, relax, pal. It's over now.
I would love that, Stuart. But how many?
Oh, what the fudge.
Is Ekin calling Wednesday Ekin hour again?